Murdoch. I'm coming to get you.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last? I am by.
I am the Lord!
Get off my plane.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
John, I'm not gonna shoot you between the eyes. I'm gonna shoot you between the balls.
The disease. And I'm the cure.
I'm gonna take you to the bank, Senator Trent.
There can be only one.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Yippee-ki-yay.
I'm going to kill them all, sir.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another week of Give Me Back My Action Movies, the podcast, the month of chaos. With me, as always, is Nate. Say hello to the people, Nate.
There is chaos afoot.
There is chaos afoot, and he just got off the plane a couple of days ago. That is our other co-host, Pete, not Bleat, Pete. Exactly.
Pete's always doing this to himself.
What? He really is. He thinks he's 20 still, you know?
He's the only person to take a vacation where it sounds like work.
It was a wild trip, that's for sure. I got lots of stories, but, you know, one of the things I kept thinking about when I was trying to keep up, we got a cell phone plan, so we were able to communicate over in Japan, and I was trying to keep up with the all the talking going on Instagram and stuff. And every time I would send texts or pictures, I'm like, wait, shit, we're 12 hours different. So yeah, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon and it's like midnight in Ohio. So
we're everyone's asleep.
Y'all are asleep. I'm sure you muted my sorry ass for a while. Like, okay, it's 8 o'clock. Pete's going to start texting us any minute now.
No, we would just wake up to presents in the morning. Yes. There's all these pictures from Pete. I don't even sleep in the same room as my phone, so I don't give a shit if anything's going off. I keep it in the living room.
Sometimes I just have mine on Do Not Disturb. That way I can just be left alone.
90% of the time you're on Do Not Disturb, trying to text Nate real quick. Nothing for hours.
Yeah, I don't like to look at my phone.
Well, this what? Is week.
Lies! Lies!
This is true. He's looking. He just doesn't want to respond.
That it is. Like, oh, if I got to respond, I might get roped into a conversation.
Heaven forbid, gets roped in a conversation. But this is week number two of our month of chaos and the Wheel of Pain. Which I don't know if I should call it Wheel of Pain anymore because so far we're all winning. We started out with Carnosaur, which was an absolute ball.
That was so much fun.
For a Pete pick, I was terrified, but man, was I happy.
It went well.
You probably got the best of my picks.
Thank God. The Wheel of Pity. That's what it's called. Right. It took pity on us and gave us a good Pete. But my first action pick for this time is going to be Virtuosity, 1995 action movie starring Denzel Washington and a unknown Russell Crowe.
Right.
They're definitely, both of them aren't too big right at this point.
Denzel was more, I think, like along some of the dramas or a supporting actor, never an action like led movie. This is a 1995. So, I mean, this is like pure mid-90s goodness.
Is the 90s, the early to mid-90s. This had to have been written in like 93 or something like that, because we could have done this for the month of Neon.
The concepts of this movie definitely fit a lot of themes that we've done, but before we get into it, I have a reason this was on my list. So we'll hit the trailer first and then we will jump right into what our history is with Virtuosity, if any.
In this high-tech crime prevention facility, one man has been recruited to play a simulated game. The objective, to hunt down the ultimate virtual reality killer, Sid 6.7. There's only one problem. The computer changed the program. Now, he's in the real world.
He's interactive.
On your knees, now!
He doesn't enjoy the game unless he's playing against his favorite opponent, and that's me.
From the director of Lawnmower Man.
He's recreating mass murders.
So you're saying Sid's a copycat?
Sid 6.7 is intent on improving the original.
Denzel Washington.
Just because I'm carrying around the joy of killing your family inside me doesn't mean we can't be friends.
Virtuosity.
Game over.
Yeah, it sounds about right for a 90s trailer.
That's, it really does. Yeah, that that reeks of 90s.
It's pretty wild. You can date trailers just by listening to how they what music they added, the trailer voice guy.
The music especially. What was it? Synth metallic.
Yeah. Detective.
Aliens did that really well. This one did.
This is like just before they would start throwing in like rock bands, I think. You know, whenever you got Marilyn Manson. And
so, I'm surprised this didn't have like a rock band.
Yeah.
I'm honestly surprised this thing doesn't have like a banging soundtrack to go with it. I mean, really.
In the club scene, I thought it almost sounded like a familiar guitar riff, like something out of Guns N' Roses or something.
It's possible that it was a early start of a band or something that maybe we know later on, but it definitely sounds that right. So I'm gonna save mine for the end because this is the one that was on my pick. Pete, we'll start with you. And do you have any history with Virtuosity, or is this the first time?
No, I had never heard of this movie before. I'm familiar with both Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe. I thought the police chief was Dee Wallace. It sure sounded like it for a while, and it's not. Mm-hmm. But I was very excited for a hot minute to see Dee Wallace, not Dee Wallace, in this movie. Never heard of this movie, never seen it. It's a first time watch for me. That's all I got.
Short, sweet. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
Nate, I'm gonna guess it's somewhere similar for you on that.
I have not seen this movie probably since the early 2000s, if I had to guess. I remember watching it. So John Q came out when I was like a freshman or sophomore. I remember being blown away.
Denzel Washington, holds
a hospital hostage to get his kid a heart transplant.
Yeah.
Oh,
and it's a really good movie.
Deal.
Yeah, he delivers a powerful performance in it.
Denzel Washington is an A-plus actor. There's no doubt about it. He's a Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you can tell even from this movie, there's more to come from this man. But I remember kind of wanting to learn more about him, so I'd watch like this. I think on Sci-Fi or USA. I only saw it once, and it was like, oh, okay, this has also got the dude from Gladiator. This must be like his first movie. I never really looked past it. I remember watching like Glory was another one. I never sat through Malcolm X because it's like 4 hours long.
Here Come the Titans. That's not right.
Remember the Titans. And then Training Day as well. So this kind of fell into John Q introduced me to Denzel Washington, me going, this guy's awesome. I want to see more, and just happened to stumble across this one and honestly kind of just forgot it exists. So when it popped up on the Wheel of Pain, my first thought was like, why? Like with Charlie, I was just like, weird. I don't remember much action. I remember most of it being VR, not like good VR. And that was it. It was just like, all right, these two are in it. And that's all my memory was. So I want to know what Charlie's his story with this. That way I can kind of go further with now that we have a 2024 Nate's reaction to this.
Right. Well, this one has been banging around in my head for a very long time. I don't even remember what made me think of this movie probably a year ago, And I don't know if it was you, Nate, or if it was on the Action Elite. We were just talking about movies. Virtuosity came up. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't watched that movie in probably 10, 15 years. I really need to watch it again. And I got stuck in this, the purgatory of podcasting. I don't want to watch it till I'm ready to cover it.
Right,
so I
right.
wait and
That's
I wait.
A horrible thing.
It is. It is terrible.
Like, and it's stupid. There's no rule, but we somehow have this.
Somehow it happens, and it's self-inflicted. Honestly, if we would watch some of these movies ahead of time, it would save us a little bit. But
oddly, as I'm watching, I'm like, this kind of makes sense at the same
right.
time.
You're so right.
So there is a reason. The first and foremost, this movie is important to 15-year-old Charlie. Oh. This is the first R-rated movie I got to go to the theaters by myself without my parents to go watch. Me and my buddy Ben. Ben's like 6 months older than me. So he was 16. Yeah. I was 15 and a half. So I rode with him. I had my learners. And we went to the little rinky-dink theater in Richlands. And they were playing Virtuosity. It was an R-rated action movie. Dad was like, I don't care, go watch it. You're 15, almost 16. And this was my first R-rated theater experience without Fun. My dad. So, yeah, because I want to say Con Air was before this with my dad that we went and watched. So
you've mentioned seeing an R movie before this.
Yeah, I think it was Con Air that dad, yeah, but yeah, but this was me and my buddy going to a theater with no parental supervision on a movie no one knew anything about and got to watch. And I remembered really enjoying this movie. I still enjoy this movie. So we got caught in this whole thing where now it's like most of our months are like a theme or we have some kind of, you know, process with it. And then when we had the chaos month where it's like, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Pick whatever the hell you want. Throw it on there, and it was like, you can either punish everyone or you can just pick one you've wanted to do forever. I was like, I'm putting Virtuosity on this.
Sure.
This is the perfect
just fit. Because
it no, was just it was a just because yeah. and I okay. wanted to revisit it, and honestly it's kind of hard to get a hold of. It's only ever had a DVD release. It's not cheap, it's not easy to get. Xbox, it's not available there. I had to get this through Amazon. I bought Same. It
It also turns H-Charlie. Out I was spelling Virtuosity wrong on Xbox.
Yes. Yeah. You can. It's an S, not a C. Yeah.
Exactly.
There's no L. That was the other problem. And then I had to Google it.
Where'd the L go?
He was doing Virtuosity.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Okay.
So hey, then Charlie, I was like, screw it. I'll just go to Amazon.
Hey, Charlie, you know where I got my copy?
I know.
Guess where, you guess got where your, Charlie, guess where I got my copy?
Ancient. Cult called the Librarian.
Yeah, yes. And what happened is that 80-year-old librarian that worked there had to find it at the top shelf and then and blow off all the dust.
And that's a thing with this movie because I never hear anyone talk about it. I feel like it's kind of been forgotten. And I think it's mainly because Russell Crowe and Denzel Washington are A-list actors. They are huge now. And this, the only thing like Nate was going through, like I kind of remember Glory. I think I had saw it on TBS or something, but the movie I remember Denzel from was Crimson Tide, you know, submarine movie.
Submarine, yeah. So,
oh, yeah. Okay.
And that's where I think that came out just before this. So I probably
right in the 90s, wow. this is where he started to take off. Like,
I watched Crimson Tide after this, but I remember Crimson Tide more than I do. Well, you know, it's Virtuosity. Like,
sorry, I can't picture
it is. It is.
I can't picture Denzel Washington making this movie now. I could picture Russell Crowe making this movie now.
My God, this guy, he is a great villain. Like, this was what's that movie he did a couple years ago, Unhinged or something like that?
Oh, that really
like
stupid road movie.
Rage, yeah. The road rage movie. You can watch this movie going, I can see where he can just kind of get a little batshit crazy, and I dig it. And you're right. Denzel is Denzel in this movie. He does not
right out
back.
The gate. Yeah. Denzel with hair. Awesome. Didn't know that.
Boy, hair Man. And beard. Woof.
Yeah. Looks Let badass. Oh boy!
I'll give you my digits right now, sir. That was
that opening with him being a prisoner is amazing. With William Forsythe too. Yeah, so there's a ton of backup characters. Kevin J. O'Connor, which is Benny from The Mummy. He's the tech guy that has the snake and all that stuff. Yeah.
William Fichtner in this.
Yeah, that's Benny.
That didn't.
Kelly Lynch from Roadhouse. I mean, that's who the doctors. Do you two know who the little girl is?
I found out. I was
shocked. You found out, I bet, but Pete doesn't. That is one Miss Kaylee Cuoco, I think is how you say her name.
Who is
Penny from Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, that really dumb show.
From Big Bang Theory.
She's also the voice of
Big Bang Theory?
No.
She's also the voice of Harley Quinn on the Harley Quinn animated show.
Oh, she's very good voice actress. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She was in one of those travel commercials all the time.
Yeah, Travelocity, I think.
Travelocity or something.
Expedia.
Well, anyway, Pete, for most people, they would know her as Penny from Big Bang Theory.
Yeah,
okay. Good.
You know, with Sheldon and Leonard and all those guys. Very but this is a. This is her first film as well. So, yeah, stack cast as far as I'm concerned. There's no bad actors in this movie.
No. The script is pretty solid here, too.
It's a solid script.
There's something dark here about, combining every serial killer and madman into a computer virus, let's say. Mm-hmm. I was watching it, I went, this feels like something not Demolition Man,
this
Lawnmower
is Demolition
Man.
Man.
I was like, this feels like
is
shitty Lawnmower Man. And then I look at the director.
I agree with Pete, though, a little bit. I think this is a blend of Lawnmower Man and Demolition Man.
I looked up the director. Man,
together.
Terminator
the director
2.
Is Lawnmower Man. I went, this explains so much. This explains the terrible CGI.
Right. I was going to say, he didn't improve his CGI from what
look. Yes, this CGI is improvement. This isn't technically CGI. This is vector graph imaging or something like that. This
that
was
primitive for the time.
Well,
it was state of the art, which is the weird part.
That's the thing.
What?
It was this movie is the pinnacle of the vector type effects. Right. Now, when you compare it to 1994's Jurassic Park, they used CGI, which was a totally different way of doing visual effects, which was more animation, overlay, wire frame. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like N64 versus, the next generation consoles that were getting ready to come out. Because this feels like Star Fox in some of the scenes.
It's so bad.
Yeah, you're right.
But then there's some stuff I think is actually kind of cool. When they show the nanites, that when the guy's looking through the VR headset, I'm like, that's actually kind of cool.
There's
Tracy
cool
Lords
stuff.
Doesn't look digitized at all in this movie.
The egg that births
that's
Russell Crowe.
Tracy Lords. She was the
you didn't know that's
gal.
Where else are you going to put Tracy Lords in this movie?
In 1995.
Hey, wait. Now hold on. This is a rated R movie, right?
Yep.
This is the most vanilla rated R movie I may have ever seen. There's a lot of cursing in it, a lot of F-bombs, very little gore, and no boobs. Well,
the gore is very computer generated because that very first time that Russell Crowe gets shot and you see him come back together.
it looked a little Looney Tunes.
The partner that he kills in VR though in the ice chest, that was pretty gruesome.
Yeah, that was
I thought that was really cool looking. And then when Denzel gets shot in the shoulder and he stuffs his thumb in there to mess with him, that was cool. But whenever Sid heels and you see the collarbone and the other bone come together.
See what they're going for, and you're also practical effects exist, but also this is the internet, so I get it. But then the other thing that cracks me up is nothing in the world itself screams the future. Only the VR. Everything else is very 1995.
You're not wrong.
I even love how he says now this was an emoji. And this is what they used to sign their email back in the day.
That was funny. the colon and the parentheses. This was, wow, if they only knew where emoji technology would go.
Not that far.
Is this the first time a movie said emoji since like Hackers or something like that?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't very futuristic. It is funny. Anytime you see these, well, okay, so I'll go back to Demolition Man. They did have a future look to it. There was a vibe. Everything was a little different, a little more modern, but you could still recognize what it was. Maybe minus the bathroom.
This
but
just felt like 95.
They had like a time jump. Yeah, Demolition Man purposely gave us that time jump to make it feel futuristic.
This did nothing.
In Virtuosity was that they had really good virtual reality and some sort of weird, I can make a person cyborg Android
fun fact
thing.
Hackers came out in 1995 as well. Everything came out in 1995.
I guess so. Anything about technology is evil.
I even like the shoulder held camcorder in the club halfway through.
Where they're putting it all up on the screens around the club.
VHS.
I loved how that was a great scene with Russell Crowe where he's like seeing himself while he's real,
I'm
quotation
beautiful.
Marks, he sees himself on screen now. And it's kind of a wild, I like his take on it.
He looks like Max Headroom in a way. Mm-hmm. He has like this perfect hair and just like, there is something very animatronic about him in his performance.
The way he did a little herky jerky a lot of times, like he would turn his head as if he was a robot or something,
like a little glitch.
He wasn't very smooth moving, but he did that on purpose, which I appreciated just to make
him
stand out a little bit.
He was moving smooth when he reenacted Die Hard 2 when he come out of the cocoon doing that naked ass kata.
Yeah,
as he stretched out.
Did he also reenact Die Hard 1 at the very end?
He does a lot of Die Hard influence in this movie,
like. There's a really strong idea here of how to fight crime and this program that takes over and is just pure evil, even though he's a 6.7 version, but how they show the baby steps of him getting, you know, different serial killers and whatnot.
They show the baby graphic and the brain of the serial killers going into the baby.
And it's using voice technology to go through the files. So it's like, like this is the future. It's
like Jarvis
voice activated.
But it's like a police trainer is what they were doing. They were finding the perfect criminal to train cops, and Denzel happens to be a cop who was accused of
history with one of the killers. And I do like this concept of this cat and mouse game. I kind of wish the story just didn't have the technology angle in a way. Because it could have been a gritty cop drama.
If it didn't, it would have been a shocker, or it would have been a horror story, which is also House 3. You would have had the killer in a different body taunting the cop.
That's what Fallen was. That
Fallen is another one.
Yeah.
So
a couple years later.
If you didn't have the virtual reality to this, it would just be another one of those. So it's kind of cool that they gave it this, like, different little flair to it, this technology.
He's also a little bit T-1000 crazy, like when he gets his arm shot off. I mean, he was about to eat a woman on live television.
Yeah, that was gross.
Like, he threw her boyfriend off the stadium, which is a fear of mine, a stadium being up high, falling down.
Dude, those top upper nosebleeds, they're
scary.
Way more vertical than anyone realizes until you've actually
been
up. The
idea of someone throwing you off of it is very real and terrifying to me.
You could go a ways before you hit bleacher. That's a good fear to have. Did you catch the one fun little cameo at the MMA fight?
I was looking, but I couldn't tell if anyone looked familiar.
It was Ken Shamrock.
See, I had a feeling.
I know who that guy is.
Because I went, all right, this is 95. This is cage fighting. This is still early,
I was
gonna
say,
MMA days.
When did MMA start? I don't remember it back in
the early 90s.
This had to be like right at the beginning.
Because it used to be like you pit the small guy against a really big guy, kind of like no rules.
Well, and you had Gracie,
yeah, kind of started all that, like, stuff. What could this guy that does kickboxing do against a guy that knows Muay Thai? And exactly. What if, you know, and I remember those pay-per-views always being very like brutal looking. And then
you
once
had
UFC
to be 18 to rent the VHS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like me and my buddy would rent them later.
And when they
made you think someone would die. That was the whole thing. Like someone could die in this
kind of like ECW wrestling was the extreme. Like no matter what, you're going to see blood. You're going to see barbed wires and light bulbs and people get stabbed. Like,
yeah.
Before regulations started, came in going, well, you know, we need some rules here before someone gets murdered.
But yeah, I love the early feel of the UFC. And yeah, it's like in like two little quick shots, but it's Ken Shamrock running around.
I had a feeling because I was like, well, this is Cage Fighting 95. Ken Shamrock is somewhere around here, but I couldn't find him.
Yep, he's there. I just going back and remembering all this stuff. Like I said, this is just, it oozes 90s. Like, that's what this whole movie is. It's not like, Pete, you're right. It doesn't feel like future. It just looks like you updated the 90s for a little bit with
I'm
more technology than
we had. Blades in this movie. Like,
well, they were all on the set for Hackers. They didn't.
Oh, every rollerblader.
Costumes were like, we're out, guys. Sorry, there's some weird movie being made over here. I don't know. They said something about emojis. Maybe you can use that in your movie. And they did. So,
for God, there is a moment in this movie where I could pinpoint where I went, and you lost me, which is hard to do. But
that's kind of hard. Yeah, where did it lose you?
It was right at the twist. Like, that was where they pull the rug from underneath you and go, aha, you were in virtual reality the whole time. And I went, fuck you.
Okay. So that was done very clunky.
Because there is another movie made years later, done way better on like that type of reveal. And funny enough, it came up after the end of this one as like, you know, movies you might like, you know, check these ones out. A certain movie with Forrest Whitaker and Jude Law that I think we should cover at some point.
Oh, Repo Men. You're right. That is a so much better ending. Pete, if you haven't seen Repo Men, you would like that one.
But you
have to wait before until we cover it, right?
Yes.
There's
you
the
should.
Rule.
Right. See,
that's the rule.
There it is.
Thanks, jerks.
It's the unwritten rule.
We never knew this was going to happen when we started podcasting. I was like, you can still watch movies. No, you can't.
I can't. I can't do it.
You're 100% right. The way I understand why they had to do it this way, you had
to. I get it. It's just so poorly done. And like up to this point, I'm enjoying the movie. I'm like, all right, cool. You have a guy that needs an audience to get his kills. And then like it does Wayne's World.
Doesn't even do that. It's hard cut. Like
I
rewound this thing several times going, wait, what did I miss? Because I must have looked away or blinked
or
something.
You can tell there's a script issue here. Like, flung out.
It was, he's holding Sid in his hand, the little module. She goes, I like the one guy that created Sid, because he's like, well, now you have killed him, and now you'll never find the little girl. You know, it's exactly how he talked. And he looks at his hand. So, you know, you're like, oh, they're going to go back to the virtual reality machine. But I would have rather you actually showed them loading up into it. If don't make it like this, what
it's
going
trying to make
on?
It this big twist. It's like, nope, that failed miserably.
You should have showed him going, calling William Forsythe back in, Billy, saying, hey, we need you. Load us in. We're going to trick him. And then, okay, we're all in with you. We get it now. And this is all about tricking Sid, not convincing us that, wait, are we redoing the fight again? Why did Denzel get thrown off of the building? And then his blood sucks back up into his brain because it's virtual and he didn't really die.
Yeah. But then it's like, okay, how much was virtual then? Because we saw virtual in the beginning. Everyone looks alike. And I love the opening scene. Like, I did not expect that much gunfire right out the gate.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
That, I mean, you're getting a lot of destruction around the scenery kind of thing, too, you know? There's bullet holes flying everywhere.
Did you go to any sushi houses in Japan, and were there a lot of gunfights with gangs and stuff there?
No, no.
You went to the wrong ones.
They were using swords and knives, not guns.
Okay, swords and knives is cool.
You didn't walk through any of the paper walls we found out either.
Did not walk through paper walls, no.
That's so dumb. If I had the chance to walk through a paper wall, God, I'd feel like a beast.
I'll make you a paper wall, Nate.
Thank you. That's all I want.
I gotta say though, you can't just walk through one. In all the movies we watch, I have to
throw you through a paper wall.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I'm fine with that. So the paper wall's getting messed up.
I flip you and you just fall through the paper wall.
I think that's going to happen the end of next February. Charlie's going to throw me through a paper wall.
I'm going to make paper walls. I'll bring them up. We'll have a big thing about it. We'll make our own little short video.
You brought this on yourself to be able to get thrown for
it. It'll be Patreon level.
Right.
Level two. Okay. Pete gets thrown through. How many paper walls can Pete get thrown through? Depends on how much money we can raise for.
Yeah. We'll do it like the whole Karate Kid going through the ice blocks. It's just me holding you from your belt and your front and ramming you through as many paper walls as I can. Can I say there's a gong at the end of it, or is that a little too touchy for what we're talking about?
No, it's
gotta be a gong. Okay. I wanted to make sure
we've had some issues in the past.
Grand finale. Yeah, that's totally allowed.
Fantastic. I'll rent the gong. Pete, you're in a band. We should be able to have a gong somewhere.
Yeah, where's the gong player? We don't
have, we've got band directors. I'm sure somebody's got a gong in their high school.
I'll build the walls. You're in charge of the gong. It's in your backyard, so get all the dog poop cleaned up.
Oh, that ain't never happening. He doesn't mow his lawn, so you can't find it.
Haven't mowed yet.
What were we talking about? All of a sudden, we're throwing each other through paper walls. This is great.
It was the amazing opening scene.
Yeah.
It was. I really like how they kind of stood out among the computer generated
NPCs.
People. Yeah. Right, and this is pre-Matrix. This is kind of the thing.
Like, it's kind of a precursor to Matrix, but it also is so glaring of what this movie got wrong that the Matrix gets correct, you know?
Yes.
And it's very obvious once you've seen the two.
4 to 5 year difference right there. But what I will give this movie credit for is coming up with an idea that Will Smith had to go and steal from him later on, which is the robot arm he had, an iRobot. Denzel did it first.
It's mentioned, and I'm like, oh, cool, he's Jax. But he doesn't ever use it for punching like I wanted him to.
He used it defensively, like whenever somebody gets at him with a knife in the prison, you can tell he blocks a couple of the things with his arm. And then later, there's a few other scuffles he gets into. He uses the arm more as like a shield almost. It really comes into play.
It's not quite Winter Soldier-esque, but it's you know, he uses it to stop the fan.
Yes.
You know, like,
and so that's
it's
kinda what,
like you have it, but you forgot to use it to its fullest capacity.
You know, they didn't shove it in your head like Will Smith slides down that cable at iRobot and he can because his arms robotic. I do like that Denzel lost it in the explosion that killed his wife and kid.
And that's your thing.
Back to later.
That's the stuff where it's like this movie can be very dark, where it shows that the killer that he captured and killed killed his wife and child. He is slaughtered in their blood when he goes back for
revenge.
There's
the blood in this movie.
Like, he is covered in the people he loves blood, and he is going through these halls just shooting everyone. He's got no arm. It's completely off. And like, that is the stuff where I'm like, man, there's really good, you know, villain characters in this.
There's good ideas.
Yeah. Like Russell Crowe inside the techno goth dance studio, and he is making a song based on everyone's screams and fears. That's dark.
Enjoyed
that's twisted.
That was dark.
And twisted.
It went on.
And it was
too
good.
Long.
Yeah,
went on too long.
A little too long because you have to show Denzel trying to get there quick enough.
I get that. But it was.
But you're not wrong, Pete. I agree. I think this movie is a little too long. I will be the first to admit
that.
And
it's not, it's only an hour and 40 minutes long, but it's like, this could have been a 90 minute joint.
This 85 minutes to 90, nice and tight.
Yeah.
It would have been a breeze to get through. I enjoy the movie enough. It doesn't feel long to me, but.
But Russell Crowe's like selling it with the way that he's playing this virtual like keyboard and just like the people screams, and he's getting different reactions by doing different, you know, sadistic things. To these pedestrians, and it's working, and it's just dark. It's just unsettling. Is the only way to put
it. It's unsettling that someone sat there and thought about that. Like, let's make a song based on screams. Has anyone ever done that before? And it's like, that makes that. Not to mention this, you know, Russell Crowe is in like this purple perfect suit that's like straight up from the 80s. You know, Flock of Seagulls or you know something to that effect. Miami Vice,
a robot. That's the bartender. And he's like, one of my ancestors, like primitive waste or something like that. And it's just like a computer realizing a previous version of themselves and going, you're old technology compared to what I am.
Yeah. iRobot stole that too.
Funny enough, while watching this, iRobot was getting mentioned.
Honestly, I had seen when I watched this finally, I had probably seen iRobot a few times since I had watched this. Yeah. And going back now, watching it, going, oh shit, I've seen this before. And it was because they didn't rip it off, but there's definitely some ideas. Like, you can't tell me nobody watched, you know, Virtuosity and then wrote iRobot as a movie. No. You know, some elements there. But Nate, you're 100% right too. There's a lot of these elements of a killer haunting, teasing his, you know, either the cop that put him away or caused him to be executed. I just like that this doesn't, they took it from the horror, which would have been supernatural, like all the other movies are, and put it into, well, if we can't be supernatural, what's our next option? Because we have to kill the guy.
Technology.
Yeah. Let's bring it as our brains.
He takes bullets like the T-1000 because he loses pieces of himself and he needs glass to, you know.
I was gonna say we should talk rehabilitate. About rejuvenate his body.
I thought that was pretty cool. It was clever. He's silicon based entity. Android ? I don't know, but
it's weird that you're making a computer program into the reality. Like
Well, they were going to make Tracy Lords into the first real sex doll.
Benny had an idea, and he was there for it.
That Benny was doing. Gross! This is
The most unbelievable part of that scene was. That Benny hadn't thought of that already. That's not why he was building. Exactly. I'm going to call him Benny forever because
you're
on the wrong side of the river.
Right.
But, you know, but you're telling me that guy who is watching that video already built a snake was not going, I'm getting her in my machine. Yeah,
I'm just telling you guys right now.
The first thing he would do if he built this robot building machine.
The movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix told this story in a very beautiful way. So you know what? You can shame and shit all over it, but Her was a gorgeous movie. You never saw the movie Her? Where Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with a computer? Uh-huh. Oh, buddy. It's great. It's a Spike Jones movie.
I did see Tammy and the T-Rex where Tammy did fall in love with Paul Walker, who was the
To be fair,
he was a dinosaur.
We all would have fallen in love with Paul Walker as a dinosaur. So inconclusive.
It's right. In conclusion, Paul Walker, good.
But I like that even this bad guy, like when he's at the place that has all the TVs and he keeps changing the channel.
He's in the mall.
The news
something.
Talking about him.
Best Buy.
Yeah.
The one guy keeps changing it back to UFC and he's like, nah, and just keeps turning it back to him. And the guy's like, dude, get the fuck away from me. And he just snaps his neck in public and smiles.
Boom. Just as if he's living in a computer simulation for his entire life.
There's
and he
no
also
consequence
has,
for it.
Yeah,
he has,
exactly.
Well,
he can't die.
And he also has zero ethics. He has zero anything. He is the perfect serial killer. So it's just like, okay, you're not letting me do the menial task of watch television. I'm going to kill you, so you stop. You know, not throw him across the room or something. It was, you're dead, you're done. But then honestly, the guy did him a favor, because then he's like, oh, UFC. There's a lot of people there, a lot of people to see me and, you know, get
he
known.
Gets the
out
idea
there.
Of how to get the audience. Now, I do have a question. Charlie, you would probably know this better than Pete and I.
I don't know nothing.
At the very beginning, there is a certain gun that Russell Crowe uses.
Oh, yeah.
Have we seen this gun in multiple movies at this point? Because I feel like that's the gun from I Come in Peace.
It is the gun from I Come in Peace, from really? Deep Rising, from Stone Cold.
Yeah, that's the other one.
That is
gun
the gun.
Is like a cameo machine in anything from the 90s.
It has been in more movies than Al Leong has on our podcast. I can say that right now. And it is, I used to have the name of it wrote down and hanging on my wall, and it fell off. It was Coleco M something. It's a real gun.
That
it just doesn't
popped up. I went, there ain't no way in hell.
So if this gun was made virtually, would it be a ColecoVision?
It's possible. It definitely could have had the rapid fire they try to portray.
That's commercial. I want to go commercial.
Do you want to go to commercial? Okay.
I'm sorry, guys. That was terrible.
Pete did ColecoVision.
I broke Nate.
He did. I need out of here. We'll return after these
messages. Guys, we've been doing this thing for a while, and I think it's about time we make a trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Let's get this thing. All right, ready? All right, what's going on, everybody? We are Dissect That Film. I am Brett.
I'm Dan.
I'm Angela.
And we... Oh, wait, guys. I have an even better idea. What if we had somebody with an epic voice sell our show in a way that our show actually isn't? What do you say?
Yeah.
Sounds perfect.
All right, let's go. Let it rip.
Your host, Parker, Dan, and Angela, slice and dice their way through the good.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
The bad.
You brought the devil!
There's a devil inside everyone.
And the ugly movies you love.
And you can't piss on hospitality! I won't allow it!
Hold your favorite films and franchises tight, because they aren't safe. In fact, it's already too late. It's time to dissect that film.
I wish our show is what that guy just said. But you know what? If you want to listen to our awesome show, Dissect That Film, you can listen to us on YouTube and on your favorite podcast apps every single Friday, where we talk about all the wonderful films, good, bad, or ugly, as that epic dude said back there. So until next time, I'm Brett.
I'm Dan.
I'm Angela.
And we'll see you all again next time.
We now return to the Transformers.
Okay, Parker's cheating.
Yeah,
that
like
was cheating.
Where did he get that guy? That's not even fair.
I think I know who that guy is, but really? I gotta ask my contacts. Hey, look, he's no Leo, which is our guy.
Leo's our guy. But honestly, if it was up to me, we might like fire Leo and hire a Patrick Stewart impersonator. You know, just to really.
I like how he had Patrick Stewart impersonator.
Make it so.
I've been wanting to hire a Patrick Stewart impersonator for a while now, so we just need a reason.
I got my picture with Patrick Stewart.
Ooh, impersonator.
No, cool. It was legit Patrick Stewart, me and Anthony.
Jody and I went to go see him in Cincinnati for his book.
He Fawn was there. Yeah. Got the book in the living room right now.
Nice.
I took Anthony to go see, we originally were going to go see Stan Lee, and that's when he first got really, really sick in Columbus at one of the conventions.
I think they
and Patrick
Galaxy
Stewart,
or Wizard Con.
It's I think it was Wizard early 2010s. And
that sounds right.
I could either got a refund, or they're like, the replacement we're getting is Patrick Stewart, and you would already get the picture photo op. And
yeah,
they were the one, they also let you, because Anthony was so young, he could just be in the picture. I didn't have to pay extra for him. Patrick loved him, dude, because they were like, don't shake his hand. He's not doing well. He's kind of, you know, I don't want to say weak or frail, but, you know, he's definitely getting up there in age.
Plus, isn't he?
But Anthony walks up there and Patrick's just like, oh, this he pulls Anthony in. He's got his hands on his shoulder. And I was like, you know, all I did was like, Patrick, thank you so much. And he reached his hand out to me. Oh, and I was like, kind of looked at the handler and they were like, if he reaches to you, it's fine.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm making sure. I don't want to get knocked out.
No, you did. You did good.
I did right, but I did get shake his hand. Right, and right. I also got to follow Q, who got away from his handler, walk through the show, John DeLance. And I'm walking with Anthony's real little at this point, and he didn't really know who Patrick Stewart was. Maybe Professor Xavier, but I'm walking and I'm like, what does that look like? John DeLance in front of me. There's not a lot of people there. And he's holding a cup of coffee, looking at other vendors, talking to them. And you could see people going,
wait,
is that Q looking at my stuff? And I follow John DeLance for a few aisles. But out of the corner of my eye, about three aisles over, I see this girl and guy frantically running around the show. And I realize they're looking for John DeLance.
For him.
And yeah, I am
John DeLance on Rogue. He's gone Rogue.
I stayed right like 20 paces behind John DeLance the entire time till they caught him. And they're like, John, we got you have autograph signing getting ready to happen. You can't just run away from us. Oh, I'm so sorry. He just kind of waves at all of us and goes back to his little booth over there. But I followed Q around the convention because he got away from the handlers.
Hey,
best story I got.
We could get John DeLance to do our trailer. He's got a great voice.
I could get Q to do this on the show. That's absolutely.
All right. That's cool. What about that one guy that was really tall that was on Star Trek who also did Fact or Fiction?
Oh, wait. That's Will Riker. I thought you were talking about Lurch, who was Guinan's mom's handler. Will Riker did the Fact or Fiction. He was, you know, number two.
Yeah, he was the second one because Josh Brolin's dad did it first.
What? On Fact or Fiction.
On Fact or Fiction, yeah. The first season is it James Brolin. Yeah.
It's James Brolin.
From Amityville Horror.
Yeah. That movie will put you to sleep.
dude, anything will put me to sleep right now. Let me tell you,
Pete's already falling asleep. Yet Nate's got the fuzzy brain.
It's Jonathan Frakes. That's who I'm talking about.
Jonathan Frakes is Will Riker.
Will Riker, number two.
I don't watch Star Trek.
Number one, you ding dong.
Well, he's number two.
Number two is Austin Powers. Yeah. Rob Lowe. That's who it is. It's Rob Lowe.
That's the joke, you ding dongs.
I thought it was a poop joke.
I'm the dummy. It is a poop joke.
Yeah.
Who
sent you?
Who does number two work for?
Well, come on, buddy. You got this.
Oh, shit. What movie are we talking about? Virtuosity. Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
This movie also has three different endings. You have him defeating Sid 6.7, going back into virtual reality to bring him back, yet still defeat Sid 6.7 and his handler. And you still have to go defuse the bomb and save a young Kaylee Cuoco.
Too long.
He remembers that because it's the primary personality is the guy's name that killed his family. That's the primary one in Sid. That's why he's fucking with Denzel the entire movie. Mm-hmm. You know, I love though, before we get too far, is when they're showing like all of the virtual reality serial killers. John Wayne Gacy had the clown face makeup in virtual reality. I was like, gee, I wonder which one that is.
They got to, you know, program that clown paint. That's amazing. Pogo.
They did that in MS Paint. It's just color that in. Little
we'll do
paint
the spray
bucket,
paint one.
Spray paint and paint bucket. Fill that in. But no, you know, he's got to go. I did like the bomb defusing scene. I did enjoy that.
I honestly was kind of just checked out at that point.
Well, they killed you
so mad
twice.
At, yeah.
Like, I don't whatever. Fault you. I don't fault you for that. I still 100% agree that is a clunky way to go into virtual reality.
And you like you said, this is the third ending. So at that point, I'm just like,
yeah,
get this on with. Like, you've defeated the guy in the real world. You've defeated the robot, John, or not John, fucking Sid. So like at this point, it's just like you've won. Like, we're not going to end this movie blowing up everyone, you know?
Sid has thought of everything you could think of, but not that you would cut your arm open.
I was waiting for fucking Newman to pop up and go,
Honestly, yeah, that would have tracked just well. But, and you know, it is a little bit like, come on, because he cuts his arm whenever he stops the fan, which shows the robotics. He just so happens there's a piece of fiber optic he can pull out to defuse the bomb that Sid never would have thought of, you know, to stop.
Good ideas here if it would have just been one, you know.
What it should have been is you shouldn't have really killed Sid the first time. It should have been almost accidental that Sid got dispatched and they're like, well, shit, now what do we do? Mm-hmm. And they tried to do that, but and that sucks because I really love the effect of Sid falling on the glass. That scene
is actually really great.
Cool.
And as much as I hate the CGI, there's a moment where they terminate him and all of his like stringy pieces.
It's practical.
Then turns into practical and falls to the ground. And the way that shot looks great. And like,
I agree.
He has this like titanium type blood that he's been spitting out. And because of the way Russell Crowe's playing it, like he looks like he's got rabies.
Oh, yeah. He looks and rabid for sure.
When he's coming back, that whole like Fulci type, like trying to bring Denzel's face, his eyeballs into the glass. There's great stuff there.
That was really cool. That's what sucks is I love that. It's that middle section they had to do to find out where the girl is.
That's
what sucks.
When he first gets out and he kills like three people and writes, you know, pig's blood or whatever it is he wrote on the wall that was of the Manson killers.
Die pigs.
Yeah. So you've got that, and I'm like, this is a great idea. Like, you have now a guy who's just going to go out and do random killings. Like, there's a lot here that, like, honestly, if you were to remake this movie, I think all of us would be like, really? But then there could be potential there to improve where the movie faltered.
The only downside is which it's not going to happen. I think this is one of those that's lost to obscurity, unfortunately. But
yeah.
I honestly think, say, some producer gets a hold of them, this would end up being a TV show, and every episode
it would be a TNT type show,
and each episode would be a different version of the serial killer,
a virus that got out, and then like,
yeah.
The other thing is, this can only happen in '95 of getting Russell Crowe and Denzel Washington together in a movie.
Oh yeah, you're not
because then
get
the next time
like
they work together in a movie is American Gangster, and that movie kicks so much ass.
And reversed, Russell Crowe's the good guy,
yeah,
hunting down the bad guy Denzel. Yes,
yeah, dude, American Gangster's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I
concur. That honestly, there's not a
all
lot
I'm learning
of...
tonight is that Pete needs to brush up on his Denzel movies because. Damn, is the man awesome. Movie starts out of him like lighting a guy on fire.
Honestly, I was like, if you haven't watched the Equalizer movies.
Yeah.
Those are really good. That is. They're action movies, but not really. They're borderline horror.
It's a movie that's so good that it's allowed to surpass the nail gun rule. I'll allow it.
he's got a really good point. I will agree with you on that. And
like,
I usually
like, oh no, but in the Equalizer, it's
hard,
like, I will let it pass.
I have a hard line on that, but Denzel and Equalizer, I'll let it go. I will let it go. But Yeah, no.
Going to start a Give Me Back My Denzel Washington movie podcast just so we can get Pete to catch up here.
We just need to cover more Denzel movies.
That's all.
We can do that. I can totally bring that in there. Well, we've gone through the climax. This movie, there's not a lot of substance. There's not a lot to really dig into here. So, we can jump right in.
It's just... It's kind of a
not really
it's,
no.
It's a Batman and Joker is what it is.
It is, yeah.
Where Denzel is Batman, and the reason I exist is because, I can't exist without you, and vice versa, sort of thing.
Exactly. I think that's
what this is.
And that commentary is very much in your face the entire time. Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, I think they pretty much just plastered it. As soon as it said virtuosity, it's like cat and mouse game.
This would have just had a different director, I think this would have done way way better.
Yeah, I think he did a terrible job. I just they had too many ideas and they popped it out there. But that's also a little bit of nostalgia speaking for me, because I do have a little bit for this movie. This wasn't a Charlie watches this every year nostalgia movie.
And I realize I sound like I am like just pissed off at this movie. It's like no. I just feel like what I liked, I really did enjoy. It was just counterbalanced by what I didn't. And like, I'm more frustrated that there could have been this really awesome movie. You know,
I think they're valid complaints you have. And honestly, I'm for the most part agreeing with you on almost all of your points. I mean, really, we'll get it down when we give it to the numbers, but let's jump into the body count. What do you say?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Are the virtual deaths still count because they died in the real world, right?
Oh, yeah, that gets kind of weird.
So I had to get a little creative with this one. Yeah. So obviously the NPCs that get killed at the beginning segment, they don't count.
Oh, that's
But
the cops
Sid,
that were in there.
The prisoner slash cop at the beginning that he mutilated.
That's right.
That guy died. I mean, so that's a death. There's 33 in this movie.
Golly, really?
Yeah.
Minus the NPCs.
Lower than I thought.
You have to take out the NPCs, like all the gunfire and, there's a lot going on in that first segment, but it's a video game. Denzel, he said, I played your little video game. You know, it just the only thing that was real was him and the other guy. And then it's Sid going on, his whole, massacre. Because, he kills, Benny. Everybody dies throughout there. But 33, really, when you look back at this movie, you're like, yeah, that kind of fits. That kind of works for all the different places. I mean, he does raise some cane in the broadcast area. With all the cameras and stuff, a little bit in the goth UFC kills like two people. He throws the one dude, which we're going to say he's dead. According to Nate's fear, he's dead.
He probably killed a couple guys when he landed
on Ken Shamrock. So he's definitely dead.
Oh, you just bounced off of Ken Shamrock.
Kim Shamrock's pecs ripped him in half. That's exactly all right. Well, speaking of the deaths, let's pick our favorite
ones. Killed anyone?
Yeah, but they were all bad.
Pete, we'll start with you, brother. What was your favorite kill in this?
Russell Crowe going through the glass. That was very cool. And I was even yelling at the screen like, dude, he's going to suck that glass up and he's going to be A-okay.
And
started doing it. I'm like, okay, I guess I figured something out, but it still looked good. I did, as cheesy as it was, I did like how he would just walk up to a pane of glass or something and suck all the glass back into him and reshape his hand.
I loved when he got shot up and he's in the car and he grabs handfuls of glass and starts eating it to heal the bullet. Cause he got shot up a lot by Denzel and all the other cops.
Yeah.
Like he is like, there's a lot of holes and the windshield's gone. And you're like, okay, he's got to heal. Handfuls, and honestly it's not really like I think it was the candy glass, because it looks like Russell Crowe grabbed a handful of shit, shoved it in his mouth. But even knowing it's candy, the crunching sound effects they gave it, you're just no, I don't like it.
So
Nate, what about
there was very good. And then Of course, Denzel is getting pulled into this giant.
Yeah, face first.
And then all of a sudden, everything stops because Denzel has reached into the back of his head and pulled out.
Which that was kind of cool and gruesome, too. That was a little
gory. That was pretty nice.
Yeah. For Blue Blood, it was a little gory.
Right. So that was mine.
Cool. Nate, what about you, Bubba?
Mine's got an asterisk in it because no one dies. I'm just saying that right now.
Oh. Okay.
Someone would die if this happened. It's the car chase scene, and Denzel goes, hand me my gun in the back. And he does this badass like spin turn, and then he pulls out this big ass like Spaz 12 shotgun and just starts unloading it into Russell Crowe and like the tanker behind him as the SUV then slams into the police vehicle. Anyone else would have died during that, and it looked awesome.
That's so, like, that was peak action scene right there. Yeah. That was the action.
Denzel doing it. And he's just like, hey, my gun. And he's still in the driver's seat as he's shooting. And it's just like, hold the steering wheel. It was badass.
No, I'll give you that.
It's the dude who dies via my fear, but anyone else would have not survived that.
Fair. But I'm right there with Pete. I think when Russell Crowe gets tossed onto the glass, I remember sitting in that theater going, wait, it's glass. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to heal himself, but he's in 1,000 pieces. And it's like Nate was making the correlation earlier. It's very T-1000-esque kind of, death for him, where he's like not liquid metal, but he's just sliced up. And then he starts absorbing that glass and pulling Denzel. Like, and you see it. It's really cool shot of Denzel's face getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
And then just the when they did practical, damn it, it was good, because that's a dummy head that he shoves his whole fist in.
It's awesome.
Grabs that module out and all of the, like, I don't know what that shit was they were using. It looks like epoxy I pour when I do the metal glitter in it, but that hardens. This is like what's inside of a Stretch Armstrong, but blue. And he pulled it out. But to me, that's got to be the kill in this. And is it a kill? Yes. As far as I'm concerned, it's a kill in this movie. So cool. All good picks. Let's see how we really feel about this movie. Still waiting on somebody to get us an Al Young song. That's all I'm going to say.
All we need is the music, and I'll do the vocals. I got it from there.
That's all we need. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Pete, I'm going to let you go first once again. All right.
Once again.
One through 10.
Three times in one episode I get to go first. Huh. Interesting.
You're tired, and I'm giving you the ability. I'm taking pity on you tonight, Pete.
Okay. This is not my bag. It's 5.5 because 5 is like, make up your, you're an adult. You can pick your movie. I'm going to give it a half.
Middle of the road.
Yeah. And 5.5 is like, sure, go for it. I think my biggest gripe was, as I'm watching this, I'm thinking the whole time, Demolition Man, and how charming both Stallone and Wesley Snipes was. And I'm watching this, and I'm getting kind of pretty much the same idea, where there's this Batman Robin thing going on. They're not necessarily time traveling like they did in Demolition Man, but it's Russell Crowe he's the son of 1,000 maniacs fighting the cop that put him away, sort of. Mm-hmm. And neither of these guys have the charisma or personality that Snipes or Stallone had. There was humor in Demolition Man. There was they really leaned into the ridiculous action, where don't get me wrong, it was acted well, but Denzel is acting Denzel, very serious, very, very Liam Neeson. I don't smile, I don't laugh, I don't make jokes. And then Russell Crowe, God, he was trying to be the Joker. He was trying to be Jack Nicholson, trying to have that crazy look in his eyes. And maybe he was just real young and still cutting his teeth on his career. He didn't pull it off for me. He just was kind of like, it felt forced. And I didn't like either of their characters. So it was hard for me to like the movie. So 5.5. There you go.
There went my streak, Nate.
I know.
I know.
But
I know.
This is what happens when you bring chaos into the mix.
It does. But this is bittersweet that I was on a streak of liking action movies since like last fall. Like an executive decision was the start of the streak when Pete's like, I actually, because we thought you were gonna hate that movie. He's I actually like this.
I kinda did, but I also kind of liked it. It was weird.
Exactly. So you're not at all wrong about what you've just said. Still just kind of breaks my heart a little bit, but only because the streak has been broken.
So we can start over. How many days did
wipe the board.
It's zero.
They
now.
Still likes an action movie. I have to get that out there. And I know it's not going to probably be the next action movie if it's the one that gets picked by me. So we'll have to see. Maybe if it's the Pete action movie, we'll find out. Everyone will find out. Remember, we are playing our videos right before the episodes come out a day or two ahead. So you find out what chaos we are doing. So Nate, what about you, bud? What are you rating this bad boy?
I'm just slightly higher than Pete. I'm at a 6, only because of some of the stuff that it upset me with. But
the triple kill
too. I forgot about.
Yeah, like I don't know if I would watch this again or not. Because I don't picture. I don't have cable, you know. So this isn't one of those there's nothing else on. Like back in the day, I'll just leave it on Virtuosity. This would have to mean I would actively have to click on it. And I just don't see myself doing it. I'm glad to revisit it, though, because it is one of those that does exist.
I didn't regret watching this movie.
Yeah, I'm always going to watch a Denzel movie and Russell Crowe. Now,
this is probably like a 5 to 10 year for you.
I can see 10 to 15 years from now going, did I like that? Oh, yeah, we did cover that. I'm not going to listen to the episode. Ah, damn it. I've been duped again.
I did it to myself again. Ah.
Damn it.
All of a sudden, we get the 4K, 12K.
Yeah, at that point, it's the 16.5K, the 6.7K or something.
Titanium book instead of steel book.
It's the Virtual Boy edition that actually puts you into the movie somehow.
Okay, hold on now. Though. I might be in for that one.
You're right, the lawnmower man. It does crack me up, too, that I want more of the scenes of them in the machine because it's so damn funny. They see their little legs dangling and they're like
arms
running
and, legs flopping.
And their arms are, they're like little babies hooked up to this machine, just like moving and wiggling their bodies. And I'm like, the Assassin's Creed movie was not good because of all the VR stuff, but all the stuff in the Assassin's Creed movie where they're actually like being assassins was fucking awesome. It was one of those movies where I was like, damn it, you really messed this up because you had a really good movie here. But that's also the video game's fault for having such a stupid storyline. So I'm stuck with a 6. I do say, if we do another Russell Crowe movie, maybe The Gladiator. Maybe The Nice Guys. I don't know if The Nice Guys counts as action, but
I bet we could make an argument.
I bet we could, finagle it.
There's guns. There's some action.
It's got Ryan Gosling. I feel like that should be a rule in itself that we're allowed to do it.
That Ken is in it. So
yeah, that Ken's in it.
I'm just Ken. All right, so I guess that leaves me.
We're all just Kens.
We're all just Kens.
You're up, Charlie.
Guys, I'm gonna make y'all not feel bad. I've had a number in my head, and it's a 6.5.
Okay.
There we go.
I almost want to say nostalgia is a hell of a drug, but it's not like I hated this movie watching it again. I enjoyed it. I did buy it because I can't find it. It's not in my collection, so I bought the digital version of it, sub $10. So I was like, I have it. If I ever get the inkling to go, I want to watch this movie. I may watch it before you guys do as far as timeline goes, but it's not, again, this was never in my regular rotation. I hadn't seen it in 10 to 15 years. It was just this picture of a movie in my head going, I remember liking it. I do still like this, but there are issues with it. It is a product of its time. There are far better movies. But I think this was a perfect pick for Month of Chaos. This was one where I could just, it's like a brain dump of this movie, you know, and it's like, okay, I'm glad I watched it.
I'm glad it fell in this month, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad you guys got to see it, and it's not like this was a two, you know, you know, negative thirst. There was enough there. And to be fair, had we all like been able to sit down and watch it together, it may have bumped it up one more point.
By one point, I bet.
Yeah. That, and it's just because we could have fun with the insanity of it in person. But
I also feel like after it would be like, all right, so you guys want to watch The Matrix? Like that probably totally would happen. Be like, yeah, all right.
I'd be like, let's do that, and then let's watch iRobot. Let's really see what everyone stole from Virtuosity. But it's an early Russell Crowe. You'll never be able to take that away from it. I mean, this is one of the first true action movies for Denzel. There probably wouldn't be an Equalizer without Virtuosity. There wouldn't be a Gladiator without Virtuosity. So it has its place. I think it's been forgotten. I wish it would get a release. You know, I would buy it. I wouldn't buy like the $50 collection like I do for
the Vinegar
He-Man.
Syndrome release. Yeah. Like here we
Umbrella
are.
Umbrella or something. But, you know, where it's like, hey, here's your 4K UHD. It's on sale this week for $15.99. Okay. I'll spend that money on Virtuosity. That's my limit. Vinegar Syndrome. That's my limit. That's all I'm going to pay. Honestly, it's probably going to be Kino Lorbo if they get this right now. But
probably.
I think it's fair assessments all the way around. I do say if you've never seen it, it's one that you should see, especially if you're a fan of Denzel or Russell Crowe. It's fun enough for that. And, you know, seeing Kelly Lynch in something that's not Roadhouse and, you know, short hair, which is kind of weird. She doesn't look like Kelly Lynch in this movie.
No, not at all. It's so weird. That's not Doc.
Yeah. But, you know, and the best gun ever in action movie.
Just can't wait for it to pop up again.
Where's the next? That should be the website I start. Where is this gun in the movie universe?
When does Billy Drago show up and when does this gun show up? Do they ever cross paths?
Does Billy Drago ever shoot this gun? Oh, yeah. That is... I have to find that. So, all right, Nate, that means we got to do the things. You got a trash opinion?
You know it, buddy.
I'm the trash man. I come out, I throw trash all over the ring, and then I start eating garbage. And then I pick up the trash can and I smash the guy on the head.
Oh, that's going to be a disaster.
This one might be one of my favorites, just a heads up.
Oh, okay.
So this comes from MM39, who gave it a 2 out of 10 back in 2002, and said, this movie is so bad, you know not to watch it. They said, this movie is so bad, you know not to watch it. And my wife rented it, not me. After Sunday dinner at my mother's, my dad and I watched it. I could not believe that someone said Washington should have won an award for this film. A stupid story. How could this guy come to life? This is like the holodeck in Star Trek. Why did they keep using a dangerous device? The best part of the movie was the credits. I thought it would never end. 2 out of 10. I just love that the guy instantly blamed his wife.
Totally threw her under the bus.
Yeah, I didn't rent it. She ran it, not me.
I have said that in my house before, that Jackie Pick does not mean. Little movie called Open Water. It will never let that die.
This guy, the internet didn't care that his wife rented it. They didn't need to know that he needed defended why he watched this.
And it's like, so bad you should have known better. Like, I'm not going to know if it's a bad movie until I watch it.
Yeah,
exactly. 15-year-old Charlie went, this movie looks amazing, and I'm going.
And that's what I did. They're at their parents and then watched it.
Watch it with your father-in-law. That's a bonding moment right there. I like that. Jeez. Okay. We've had way worse than that on the show.
We have.
We'll give him that one.
I'm not mad at this guy.
Pete's like, I actually agree with some points there. Pete can say, I didn't pick this. Charlie did. So you know, he's always got that going for you. All right, boys. Well, that is our second week of the Month of Chaos. This is where we would usually tell you what movies come up next, but we don't even know what's coming up.
We have to find out. Yeah, with you.
It will be a horror pick. So yeah. That's as much as I can tell you.
It could be any of us.
Again, the possibility of Pete having all of he's already got one.
It could be the whammy.
Right. Footloose.
Could be.
Pete and I are on the board. I wonder if we can we skunk Nate, Pete?
I'll be so pissed. If my idea backfires on me and I don't get anything, I was so mad.
That's right. This is all Nate's idea. Just want to get that out there. But if you want to see those videos, we are sharing them out mainly on Instagram. I think they're ending up on Facebook on our podcast page. Because it auto shares over there, but that's the easiest place to put it. That's honestly where we've got the most amount of people. Speaking of which, gentlemen, Pete, while you were in Japan,
I heard
our Instagram on the action side got 1,000 followers, and I totally didn't have to bribe people to follow
at all.
I bribed people. It's totally fine.
You bribed them with the least expensive gift I think anyone could have been bribed with.
Well, you got bus. It's a Shout Factory movie. So, okay. I'm sorry. It's four movies, Nate.
He is not sponsored one. By Shout Factory because he did watch the Shout Factory version. So, this is fair.
I bought two versions and I still didn't crack $20 on this.
You guys are getting prime real estate here.
Still works, man. Still
Congratulations,
works.
Congratulations, winners.
Really, really enjoy
that. Know who you are.
Let's see. What else we got going on?
I got story time. Can I have a story time?
Yeah.
Yes, you can have story time. We'll do the other stuff after. So, Nate, you have story time.
Well, Pete was in Japan. Yeah. I went to a little Horror Hound weekend convention.
That's right.
And I got to meet 2/3 of the podcast Cinema Slab. I got to meet Anna and Hannah.
Yes. That's amazing.
It was great. It was lovely to be able to walk the con floor with them for a bit. And we had prepared blood bags with mixed drinks and jello shots in syringes. And so I was like, you guys are going to come to the after party, right? We got all this alcohol. I have a backpack filled with alcohol. So you fast forward a little bit and I had a little pre-party in the hotel before going to the after party.
Nate,
and I walked down to the parking lot.
That's a bad idea.
And I went, you know that scene in The Hangover at the very beginning where Stu, I think it is, makes the call and goes, we fucked up. I was like, that's me right now. I was like,
oh no,
I fucked up. So then we get to the after party and I am already done for pretty bad. And I have not found where Anna and Hannah are, but we find our way into this big ballroom where they are going to have bands playing. But before this happens, I get caught for having alcohol because I just have a beer. And I'm drinking it and walking by. And this guy in normal street clothes, he stops me. I'm like, what the hell? And he goes, yeah, no alcohol past this point. And I was like, weird, whatever. So like, try to finish a drink, throw it away, go and sit down. And they text me, you know, we're in the big ballroom. Where are y'all at? So I say, sitting down in the fart right corner.
In the fart right corner.
Yes. Then I realize, because I'm drunk, I have accidentally said fart right. I will just correct myself real quick and try to squeeze past that. And then just put far laugh emoji. And now at this point, a couple minutes go by and Fawn goes, where'd you tell they're at? I was like, well, we're in the far right corner. And they're like, dumbass, we enter the room. We're in the far left corner because of where the door's at. And I went, I'm going to correct this. So then I text them far left, directions are hard, and nothing. Eventually they come around, and they do find us, because I had realized we were in the far left. And then we start to bring out the alcohol bags, you know, the body bags. And I swear, because now I'm getting paranoid, because I have all this alcohol on me, that there is nothing but you ever play the Hitman game and it's Agent 47? But I thought all the security guards were somehow after us.
Oh.
So we start to, you know, distribute to our little table. And then I start to have a panic attack going, we've messed up. Because we had non-alcoholic ones for Anna's kid as well. For any kid, we're like, you know, we labeled those ones with silver tape. And I was like, oh, God, there's a person behind us. They have a walkie-talkie. And I was like, they're going to think we gave alcohol to a child. Oh, God, what if one of these people that we gave a Jell-O shot happens to die tonight? And they're like, what was in their system? And they link it back to us. So I was like, we got to go. So I didn't even say goodbye to them. I just left.
You just left. You didn't even say, oh, Nate.
No, we left and we DoorDash pizza. It was bad. It was a bad night, fellas.
Nothing in that entire conversation surprised me.
Exactly. And I'm glad that Anna and Hannah got a pure Nate moment.
That is the purest of Nate moments right there. Paranoid drunk Nate. It's a thing.
You know, I've never seen Nate drunk.
I know. It's weird.
Really? You guys
have never seen him drunk. He's he doesn't drink in front of me.
Yeah. I usually have like one or two around Pete. That's it.
Wow. I've seen that.
That's all right. When I was perfectly sober, I also got to meet Barbara Crampton over the weekend.
Mm. Yes.
I said five words to her.
Because you're like,
four of them were hi.
I said that four times in a row. Hi. Hi.
And I was like, hi. She said hi. I said, hi. Then she got up and I said, hello.
Jesus.
And then after the picture takes, she goes to walk away and I go, have a nice weekend. And she turns around and goes, thanks. And I was like, hi. And then just left. Because normally I'm like, celebrities or whatever, they're normal people. I was shocked.
She's sitting there going, I'm so glad they got him out today. It's nice for them to get fresh basically, air once in a while.
I'm never coming back to Cincinnati, Ohio ever again.
Oh my God. This is why I got to get you a shirt. It says, you know, my name's Nate. Ask me about my podcast. That's all it needs to say. That's awesome. Well, I'm glad you got to finally meet Hannah and Anna over at
They were lovely. You could tell they were having a blast, which I'm so glad.
Hopefully
they got to come
behalf
up to Ohio. Hopefully I did not scare them off for next year.
I don't think you scared them off. I think it's totally fine. And if you guys haven't listened to our Freddy versus Jason episode that we had them on, please make sure you go back and check that out. We had an awesome time with them. Yeah. We've also been on their show. I just did Detroit Rock City with them. So definitely go check out them. Let's see what else we got going out. We got a quick preview episode I did with Dustin over at Flicks and Friends. We sat in and covered a movie on Shudder, or it's not, this is weird. We got it from Shudder. It's not on Shudder. It's on Tubi, and Amazon, but it came from Shudder.
Hey,
but
man,
it's called,
screeners are going to screen. All right.
Yeah. Ever Winter Night. Yeah. Listen to the review before you watch the movie. Just leave it at that. Also an important thing, two important things for Charlie, the Deathstalker remake had got full funding this weekend. So the director of Psycho Gorman is heading that, and it is going to happen. We are getting a new version of Deathstalker. Also, a personal thing for Charlie, I would love for everyone to please go check out The Making of Megaforce, the new documentary that is being helmed by Bob Lindenmeyer and Barry Bostwick, all about the history of Megaforce. Bob owns like two of the original vehicles from the movie.
Wow.
He's built some replicas. Please,
that's so awesome.
Go out and support that if you can. It's on Indiegogo. You can find the links on our Facebook page, Give Me Back My Action Movies, the Facebook group. You can find the link on the Action Elite website and their Facebook groups. We got Owen was kind enough to share that out for me and really help boost the reach for their Indiegogo. $2 late fee is tied in with them too, with a lot of the promotions. They got like the early trailer for it. So I've been following this with a lot of anticipation. So yeah, please, if you can, support it. If nothing else, share it. Find someone that can, throw them a few bucks, and we'll get this documentary finished up. And yeah, speaking of the Facebook group, you can also find us over at Gimme Back My Horror Movies, the Facebook group. Both of us are on Instagram. Each of us have over 1,000 followers on Instagram. Gimme Back My Action Movies. Yeah. Gimme Back My Horror Movies. We are on X. We are on Threads. We are on TikTok and YouTube. Nate, have you been anywhere?
No. Yes, I have. I went to places. You're giving me this look like I have, like I should know where I've been, but
fine. Charlie made a second appearance on our best friend show, Spoils of Horror.
Yeah, Charlie was on Spoils of Horror, everyone. You should definitely check out the episode that Charlie was on for Dollman versus Demonic Toys. I definitely know what he's talking about.
He was, I'll just say he was so into the bit that wasn't him.
That it was Charlie. It was me. Yeah.
Wow. Steven and Leo really appreciate you sharing that out.
I thought you were talking physically somewhere. I'm like, I haven't been on my couch.
Just talked about being on Flicks and Friends and documentary supporting. What else would I be talking about?
Well, you know what? That part didn't click with me. All right.
Obviously.
Yeah. It was
you got plugged back into virtual reality and had no idea where you were.
I plead the fifth. How do you like them?
Yeah. I don't think that works.
I'm
at
happy
this moment.
That I'm not in trouble for once.
Exactly. Pete left Bleat in Japan, so we should be totally fine.
Yep.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to Carnosaur, our first episode of Month of Chaos.
And you'll understand why month is
that's
chaotic.
That's the bad one, huh? Oh, no.
That's the bad one. All right. Yeah. Anything else we need to do here, boys? Are we good?
I feel like I just need to get out of here.
I think you both need to go to bed. One of you has an excuse. Peach jet lagged. What's your problem?
I mean, I had a little cold over the weekend, so maybe I'm just a little rusty here.
I'm a little nasally. It's fine.
Yeah.
I got some Sudafed. It'll be totally fine.
Hey, I got sick the night Guar came to town. Didn't get to go. I was really bummed out.
Ooh, that does
that would make me upset.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, damn it.
I'd be pretty upset about that. All right. Well, I think that does it for us this week. Like I said, tune in to our socials to find out what next week's horror pick for the month of chaos is going to be. So I don't know what, is there a line in this movie I should repeat? I have no idea.
Just do 1001001. That's gotta be mean. That's just like binary for something in here.
Do the bender from Futurama 001101001, where he time travels. That's exactly what we
shut up, baby. I know it.
Bite my shiny metal ass. I think we're good, guys. That felt so seamless. They're not going to realize
they're
we took 2 weeks off.
They're not
going to
realize at all, and that we didn't pad 20 minutes of this episode.
Totally didn't pad anything.
Because no. If not, this episode probably would have been an hour long.
Pete watched this movie 3 weeks ago. Like, totally.
I watched it today. I got
so
home.
You did watch it twice.
We made him watch it twice. Yeah. Success.
Well, he said he wouldn't.
I did watch it 3 weeks ago, and I'm like,
that's what I'm saying.
Watch it again. So, I would not have remembered any of it.
That's okay. I don't think they're on to us.
I don't
it's totally
think, yeah.
Fine.
We're professionals.
We got this. We're good.